So today we're going to look at the last in series of prayer. But before we get into it, I'm just going to pray again as we jump in. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much that you have given us this opportunity to look at your word, Lord. We want to thank you that you reveal yourself to us. We thank you that your word is also timeless, Lord, that the truths that you reveal in there were true at the beginning when they were written and it was conceived, Lord, and they are still true today and they'll be true for every day to come. We pray, Lord, that we would be a congregation that really yearn to read our Bibles and to pray to you, Lord, so that we can strengthen in our faith. And Lord, we pray for those in our congregation that may be seeking you, Lord, that may be new to Christianity. We just pray that you open their hearts to what's about to be said, Lord, and speak to them. Amen. Beautiful. So we're going to talk about blocks to prayer today, but there's a little caveat at the bottom there already. Or are they? So even as we get into this, I want you to start thinking, okay, we're going to talk about blocks, but are they, I'm going to use this word, and people aren't going to quite like it, but it's okay. Are they actually legitimate blocks? Like, do they really hold that much value in them? Or is there another reason that they're a block to prayer? Philip Yancey has this great, great quote in one of his books on prayer. He says, "My main qualification for writing about prayer is that I feel unqualified and generally want to learn more about prayer." So even as we get on this journey today, I want to say that I am not an expert on prayer. Point blank. I am just like you. I want to learn more about prayer so I can honour God in that. And so today we're actually going to go on the journey together. What I mean by that is, at two separate points, at least in this sermon, I am going to ask a question of you. That question requires a response from you. Little bit wild, little bit out there, but we're going to give it a go. So two different stages. I will ask you a question and I'll let you know. I'll be like, yes, this is one of those ones. I will need responses from you. Now, if our church is anything like the Sydney Anglican Church, which I've come from, it's going to be a bit tricky for us. We're going to be like, no, we have to be good Christians. We have to sit in our chairs. We can't be loud. We can't praise too loud. We don't want to do that. God wants to hear us. He wants to be with us. So let's just be a part of it with him. First one. I'm going to ask you in a second, but I'm just going to kick off with this idea of, when do we pray? Do we pray like Jonah in Jonah 2:7? "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." Do we pray out of this desperation? Do we pray like Psalm 138? "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart before the gods. I will sing your praises. I will bow down towards your holy temple. I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness when you are in despair." So even in those dark moments, bringing God glory, bringing him praises so that we can lift him up. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? Enjoy when you feel like rejoicing." Do we pray out of the deepest, darkest times in our lives? Is that when we turn to God and pray? Or is it like Psalm 5:11? "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, spreading your protection over them, that all those that love your name may rejoice in you." So like we've done this morning already, rejoicing in God. Is that the times in your life when you feel most likely to pray? So, first question that needs a response. When do you most feel like praying? Could be times a day, could be situations in your life. When do you feel most like you want to pray? I've got a pen, I'm going to take answers. If you give me none, we all fail as Christians. No, we don't. In the morning, beautiful. Thank you. Good work, sure. Esther's about to say something. Before you eat food, beautiful. We pray, then we say, "Sick fun," and then we all just jump into it. That's about my limited Chinese that I know. That's right out there. When else?
Desperate.
Desperate, beautiful. By the way, I'm slightly annoying. I'll start pointing people out if people just don't throw out answers. Josh, when do you pray? When things are going wrong.
It's the... And when you feel guilty about something.
Oh, yeah, how good's that? You're like, oh, my bad, better pray about that one. There's another one about to be said over this side. Yeah, beautiful, before bed. I remember when I was a kid, we used to pray the same prayer every night. Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And I always used to think, we're just reciting the same thing over and over again. Does it mean something to me? When else? Yeah. When you're sick, Benjamin?
When someone's sick.
Yeah, thank you.
Before you drive.
Before you drive.
We all need to pray.
Yeah. Josh needs to do a bit more of that. Yes. Yeah, just turn the volume down.
When you don't know what to do.
When you don't know what to do. Beautiful. When you've got questions. What do I do with this? We're going to get to that one specifically later, which is good. So, a lot of the times we pray when things are going well, when things are going bad, in the mornings, in the evenings, different times of day, when we're desperate, when we're guilty, before bed. In that list that we've just done, though, no one said thanks. No one said praise. Yeah, we've got to jump in there. Yeah, you've got to jump in there, got to be eager when things are going well. It's almost like God's a bit of a backup plan, right? Ah, damn it, crap, things are going bad, better pray. Rather than things are going really well in my life, I need to thank God for that. I need to praise Him that this may continue going on. Or actually, I need to thank Him now because I know it's not going to last and I'm going to need that strength when things go not so bad. Do you find sometimes that you pray more out of duty, not out of love? That you don't have it like this big yearning on your heart to pray to God, but it's more this thing like, oh, that's right. That weird guy with the beard got up on Sunday. He said, I need to pray. I might as well pray, but I don't really want to pray. Or can you just not wait to have a conversation with God? I know for myself, in my own life, I said it in the first one that I did in week two of this prayer series. I don't think I give prayer the importance that it really deserves. Like I pray pretty continually throughout the day. I pray in small little chunks, but it's not like I wake up and I'm like, all right, before I go to the gym, I'm going to pray. I wake up and I go, okay, which kid do I have to dress? What do I have to do about this? Where's my protein shake? How can I quickly get a coffee? Quick, we're out the house. There's no real like, all right, we're going to stop, pause, spend time with God, and actually just center myself before the day goes on. The reason that we want to look at prayer is because prayer tells us a lot about our relationship with God. Yeah? And we want to look at specifically all the stuff that you guys have said about when you pray and what prompts you to pray, because in the therapy world where I come from, so I'm trained as a counselor, I've been doing that for the last 9 years, I always say to my clients that your body will rat you out before your mouth does. And what I mean by that is that often your body language will tell me more about how you're traveling than your actual mouth will. So I want to have a look at all the different patterns of behaviors that are going on in a person's life to try and glean from them what's really going on. Because we lie. We hide stuff. We withhold stuff. And so I've learned through that world that I look for a pattern. And from that pattern, I then can go, great, is this a good pattern I want to hold on to? Or is this a pattern that maybe we need to let go of? And the same goes for our prayer life. The patterns that we have in our prayer life tell us so much about our relationship with God. How often do I pray? Do I really love God that much? When do I pray? Is it before food? Is it before bed? Oh, damn, I better pray quickly. I didn't do it the rest of the day. Not saying that that's when you pray before bed. That's how you pray. That is a type of prayer before bed people can have. Or is it this this hunger that you have on your heart for prayer. The hard thing about looking about the patterns in our prayer life is also that by doing that, we're going to be evaluating and being really honest about our relationship with God. So there's got to be that willingness from your part and from my part that when we look at, hey, is prayer really important to us? It may actually go, is God really important to me? If I'm not spending time with God, can I really say that I love him? If I'm not reading his word and praying and communicating and having conversations with God, am I where I thought I was in my walk with Christ, or do I need to do something more about it? So the second thing we're going to talk about, obviously the second question I'm going to ask, and we're going to get there, is what are the blocks in your prayer life? And according to Tim Chester, he's written a book, it says, You Can Pray. It's pretty good. It's like he gives us permission. You can pray. Hey, go do it. So hopefully after today you feel the same way. He says that some of the things that get, well, the main things that get in the way of people's prayer life is, and I like how small it is on this screen, it's really fantastic, I'll read it out for you, lack of time, pride or complacency, distractions, laziness and lack of discipline, the fact that we've had unanswered prayers in our past or doubts about really how effective prayer is, and an inability to focus, that'd be my number one. If I see something, it'll just take my focus somewhere else, like a baby or something like that. I'm just like, ooh, squirrel, we've got to go somewhere else. Tim Chester says that really at the heart of this is that we don't actually think that prayer is worth it. That's a bit confronting, but I agree with him. We think that there are better things that we could be doing in our lives. So what are the things for you personally that get in the way of your prayer life? Got my pen. This is not rhetorical. We're going to write them down again. What gets in the way of you praying?
Guilt.
Guilt. Beautiful. It's all gone quiet over there. It's all gone quiet over there. Steve, what gets in the way of your prayer life?
Time.
Time. Yeah, time. Beautiful. And I don't want the Sunday school answer, it's God, Jesus, Bible. What gets in the way of your prayer life? Cat. Forgetfulness. I'm glad you asked. I was about to ask you anyway. So the joy about meeting people, once I know your name, I can actually just point things out. It's really good. Yeah. Wing, what gets in the way of your prayer life? What things distract you or get in front of you praying at times? Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, that I think I can do it myself. I'm going to go out on a limb. It's something that I struggle with too. It's like jump into my ego and I think, yep, I got this. I can fix this. I need to fix this. It's my family. I've got to take care of them. Actually, no, I need to hand it over to God first. What else gets in the way of your prayer life? Great. Good work, unanswered prayers. Pretty sure we had a sermon on that one.
Mm.
There's a kicker to that too, though, isn't there? That there are no unanswered prayers. There's either a no, a yes, or a not yet.
Yeah,
beautiful, I was listening. Giddy up. Even the pastors have trouble listening to one another. It's okay. Yeah, so. Too small. Beautiful. Yeah. Would this really interest God? Yeah. Does God really care that my hair is falling out? Do I need to continue praying about that? Yes. What else? Couple more. Jevon, what gets in the way of you praying?
Work.
Beautiful. One more. Someone brave. Study. Beautiful. It's interesting. All these things that are blocks Yeah, forgetfulness, time, guilt, that I need to fix things, unanswered prayers, that it's too small, work, study, friends, relationships, life in general, children that don't sleep, all this stuff that gets in the way of my prayer. Is it just that we give more importance to these other things than we do to prayer? Is it actually that they're a block to prayer, or do I just give more importance to them? School, uni, work, friends, food, gym, hobbies, gaming. Not that any of you in here have LAN parties and all the rest of it. Snowboarding, cars, buying houses, music, family, making sure I've got enough flex leave and all the rest of it, yeah? They're all, like, good answers. Kinda. But they're also things that become idols in our lives. Now, an idol is anything that we place more importance in than we do God. Anything that I go, yeah, this holds more weight and more value in my life than God does. And the devil loves that. He loves it. Anything that he can go, yeah, I'm going to separate you from God. The devil loves causing us to have a distance in our relationship with God. Especially through, I love unanswered prayers. I've struggled with that in my own life too, that I don't feel like God is really answering me at that time. So I go, oh, why am I going to pray again about that thing? I'm still balding. He hasn't answered it. Like, what's the go? Is he really there? Is he really listening? Does he really care about me? I prayed last time. It didn't happen. Maybe God's not there. Maybe God's not real. And the devil just sneaks his way in there and starts to divide us and cause this doubt through all these idols that we have. Because the devil wants us to question God in an unhealthy way. And I say an unhealthy way because as Christians, we should always be questioning our faith and be questioning the Bible and be searching for answers. But the devil does it in a way in which the doubt just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Eventually, prayer loses its importance so much, excuse me, that we just don't do it anymore. It's this thing that we don't even think twice about. And so the first roadblock here is that we idolize stuff. That we put things before God and we don't give God the due importance that he needs. Now Matthew 4 says, Jesus said to them, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." It's clear. Any time we feel as though we are idolizing things, that we are putting things before God. Now, like I used to see it in movies. I don't know if you guys do. When people turn around and be like, "Away from me, Satan." And I always think, oh man, that's really corny. And so I didn't do it in my own life. And so sin crept into my life. Ha ha, joke's on me. But we should be doing this. Matthew clearly shows us that we should be saying any time that we are tempted, we need to say, "Satan, get away from me. I only want to serve God. This job you've given me, God, it may be important, but I'm not going to put it before you. My friends might be great, but I'm not going to put them before you. My family might be great, but I'm not going to put them before God." And any time we struggle with that, we need to tell Satan to go away. I was about to swear. Go away, Satan. Yeah? Got to make sure we're on guard. It's the same response we should have. And I love 1 John says it really simply. I'm a bit thick at times. It takes things like it's got to be really succinct to get into my head. "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols." Done. Finished. Sentence over. Keep yourself from idols. End of story. Be aware when they're happening in your life so that you can make sure that you don't fall into that trap. Like I said, we worship these things like money and relationships and social media, and we also fall into the experience of idolizing experiences too. I know I do for myself. I think for the last 5 years I've been planning my next Japan trip, which has not eventuated as yet and probably won't eventuate for a little bit longer. I idolize this experience. This experience is going to give me this fix, or it's going to fill this need in my life that other things aren't doing. It's going to make me feel better about who I am, or at least make me look better on social media, which is kind of important. But ultimately, all I'm doing there is pursuing the priorities of my heart. I'm being led by my sinful nature. I'm putting these things before God rather than spending time with Him. Tim Keller puts it really well. He says that we are starved for an experience in our culture at the moment, always wanting the next experience to stimulate pleasure in the brain, to make us feel better about ourselves and the lives that we lead. And society just perpetuates that, tells us that we need the biggest, the best, the newest, the this, the that. I don't need an air purifier that's big, this big. I need to go to Costco and buy the one that's this big and that was $900 and does heating and cooling, and yes, I'm talking about myself. And yeah, I don't need just an adequate car for myself. I need to drive, you know, a massive flashy car that I may not even need or be able to afford. We get caught up in looking for this next high to make us feel better rather than being still and prioritizing God in our lives. Being starved for experience rather than going to God to get the ultimate spiritual experience. It's backwards. And as we're on this search, you know, and I fall into it way too often myself. I think, yes, I need the newest of that. And I don't know if you guys know this about me, a couple of you might. I'm a really good shopper. Yes, Simon's nodding his head over there. Thanks. Love you too. I can shop for hours on end online. I don't like going to big crowded places. Unless it's a snowboard shop, then I can spend a fair bit of time in there. I can spend hours and hours looking at things that I'm probably not even going to buy. Looking at clothing, shoes, snowboard gear, exercise equipment, cars that I'll never buy. All this consuming and consuming and consuming, more often than not, to fix the fact that I feel like there's something missing inside me or something's not going right within my life. To fill the void that prayer is actually meant to fill. Consuming and being caught up in my sinful nature, avoiding having vulnerable and real conversations with God. Which is interesting because there's no hiding things from God. He's everywhere. He knows everything at all times. Like, how am I going to hide this from Him? But we then, in humility and vulnerability, have to be willing to take everything in our lives that's going on to Him to fill this need that we have for experiences. It's often said, and you can see it every day in our culture, that we're losing our need for religion in society. You can see it from the move away from Christian values in our politics to being ridiculed. I know that a year or so ago I was ridiculed for holding some of my Christian views on Facebook. But even in Christian circles, we seem to be losing this need for our faith. We're not holding each other accountable. We're not really holding each other kind of in this light of going, look, take this to God. You're struggling with this. Great, you need to pray about this. What does the scripture say about this? And so we're losing this need for religion, which is interesting because on the flip side, we're yearning for it every day, seeking for it everywhere we can, but the place we can get it. Seeking it at work, in families, at school, at uni, in friends, in how we look, how we dress, what we do. All trying to fill the void that we're actually not spending enough time with God. All the rushing into things and searching for the next experience is just a substitution for prayer. Substitution for our connection and communication with God. Even healthy things can become idols too. I, working in the therapy world, I often see clients that will get hooked on therapy, searching for that deep kind of aha moment, that light bulb that'll open up. On the flip side, I see people get addicted to the negative stuff that's going on in their lives and being downtrodden and playing the victim role in their lives. All of this stuff, even though it's healthy, it's just showing us how starved we are for this connection with God. And so we have to remember that and be wise to it. If I'm spending too much time or giving it too much significance in my life, what's really going on for me in my heart? Not just in my life in general. Oh, study's hard, work's hard, this is hard. Not to minimize it. I am a bit in that tone, but not too much, hopefully. Actually, things are not going so well because possibly my relationship with God isn't where it could be. I know that's true for myself. The other one, good, we're working well on these today. The other block to prayer, the other thing that hardens our heart is that often we become complacent in our prayers. Craig Rochelle talks about this and he's got a great phrase. He said our prayers become really safe. Lord, thank you for the food, bless it to our bodies. Fantastic. Lord, thank you for this day, bless me in what I do today. Lord, thank you for my health, keep me healthy. Lord, thank you for my home, keep it my home. Lord, thank you for my family, keep them my family. Like we pray these safe prayers. Like they're good prayers to pray for. They're good base level stuff. But they're not prayers that are going to really push us in our faith. They're not prayers that are going to get us out of our comfort zone and mean that we actually have to change something in our lives. They're just out of routine. Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep watching, guide me through the night, wake me with the morning light. Like it's just repetitive and it loses its importance. And when it becomes so repetitive, we stop focusing on it. I remember when I first moved out of home, I lived in an area of Sydney called Summer Hill, and me and my friend Davo, we moved right across the road from the train line. So we had trains going like, I think 24/7, I think they might have stopped at 3 or something like that, but pretty much all day and most of the night. And at first I really struggled with it, because you've got that clickety-clack all day long, and I was like, oh, it's going to drive me nuts, this is crazy. But over time it got less and less and less. I struggled to get to sleep at first, but eventually I stopped noticing it. Because it was there all the time, it was readily available, it was just like happening all the time. I didn't really give it any kind of thought. And the same was true when Kat and I moved into Erskineville. We were right underneath the flight path. And it was fun. No, it wasn't. We would hear the planes go, maybe I could speak to Jevon, he can move the flight path for us, that would be really good. And I just hear them all the time, and I struggle getting to sleep between that and the people across the way that were having parties till like 4 a.m. in the morning. But after time, it got easier and easier and easier, and I didn't listen to it, and I fell asleep easier. The same happens in our prayer life. After time, because prayer seems to be such a simple thing, it's just a conversation with God, right? We're just talking to someone. We talk to people every day. It loses its importance, and we forget to actually then do it. We fall into the trap of praying these safe prayers, convincing ourselves that we're praying, right? I prayed it after dinner. I prayed before bed. I prayed when I first woke up that I'd have a lovely day, that it wouldn't rain too much, that there wouldn't be too much smoke and it wouldn't hail today and there'd be no fires today. But I didn't really pray anything that would push me out of my comfort zone. And like I said earlier, like, we're wanting these soul experiences in our day-to-day world, seeking for them all the time, yet not going to the source of it, of the real deep soul experiences that we can have in having vulnerable conversations with God. Now, even leading up to the next part that I'm going to say, I start to get emotional because it's been something that I've struggled with, especially over the last 6 to 12 months, and that's the question of, Do I really want God to answer my prayers? And the reason I get emotional about that is because I have not had an easy time with God. Nor have I had a really easy time in my life. Like, things are great. I've had an amazing family. We have a nice house that we live in. We both have great jobs and all the rest of it. But internally, I have struggled with God at times. And the reason I have found that is because I haven't really been wanting God to answer my prayers. I've been praying specifically over the last 6 to 12 months about sin that's in my life. I've said to God, God, there is sin in my life and I want you to rid me of it. I want you to get rid of it now, preferably, because it's good to give God a timeline. And so I've wrestled with God over that time when he hasn't answered my prayer or answered it in the way that I've wanted to. It's a great desire to change, right? God, rid me of my sin. It's quite good, yeah? It's a good Christian prayer. But what if praying that prayer meant that God would cause my anxiety to skyrocket? What if it meant that I had to reevaluate everything that I do in my life? What if it meant that I would have to look at every thought and every behavior and question why that's there and be so vulnerable that it's just exhausting day in, day out? What if that simple prayer of God, rid me of my sin, meant that God had to bring me to my knees to humble me? Do I really want God to answer that prayer? Same for you guys. If you said to God, if you prayed a really great prayer, and this is a fantastic prayer, God, I want to trust you more. Like, that's a good prayer. Like, that's 10 out of 10 on the Christian scale of God, like relationship, like Christian, gold star. God, I want to trust you more. I want to have more faith in you. What if you prayed that prayer and in doing that, God gave you a major health scare? What if you had to go through cancer in order to trust God more? What if God took your job away from you so that you had to trust him more? Would you really want God to answer that prayer? Like, in your heart of hearts, if God stripped you of everything in your life, would you really want God to answer your prayers if it had to be that way? And so we have to be careful, because God knows our hearts. I might come before God and go, God, I'm really humble. Please, I want to trust you more. And God goes, no, you don't. Come on, man, let's be real. God, I want to be stronger in you. No, you don't. You just want me to fix your life for you. Like, stop kidding yourself. Until in our heart of hearts we can actually go, you know what? I don't care how God answers this. I just want some kind of an answer. I don't care what trials or tribulations I have to go through in my life, as long as it answers that prayer of I can trust God more. I can have more faith in God. And so as you pray, I'd really support you to question your motives in your prayer. Are you actually just praying out of, yes, it's due diligence, I need to pray as a Christian, or is it that, yeah, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to go through whatever? We're not the only ones to struggle with this. I love that about the Bible. I love that I can take anything that's going on in my life to the Bible. It's good. Not only just to the Bible, but to Jesus. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Even Jesus is like, come on, man, I really don't want to. But if I gotta, all right, let's do this. Yeah? Even Jesus struggled with that, as we do. God, I want you to do this in my life, but like, if it's going to mean pain and suffering, all right, let's do it. Let's go. I'm going to step forward trusting God. again, like I said at the beginning, these blocks to prayer, are they really blocks to prayer? Or is it just showing me more and more about where my heart is with God? Now, I know I'm questioning your faith, and that's, you know, it can be a bit tricky, but it's something that I've learnt to do in my own life. I'm not asking you to do anything that I don't do. I learnt that in the therapy world. You never ask a client to do more than you're willing to do or have done in your life. Same here. I've had to question my motives in my prayer life and be honest about what's really going on. If we feel distant from God, like we don't think he's real, like is he really going to answer? How do you think we fix that? Rhetorical, don't have to answer it. How do you think you work on a relationship? I know for me personally, and Kat doesn't know that I'm about to mention her, but welcome for being here. I know the greatest times in our relationship have been when we have been hurt by one another, when we've been feeling pain or anger within the relationship. And often Kat leads it because she's more humble than I am. But then we approach one another and we talk through that. We lean into the relationship rather than going, ah, this is too hard. She annoys me. Her hair drops everywhere. I have to vacuum it up all the time. Like, I'm so frustrated with this. Rah, rah, rah. No, I'm just jealous that I have none and she has heaps. Like, do I lean into the relationship in vulnerability and humility and seek to have that relational repair, or do I then go and seek it somewhere else, which sometimes I do. I'll jump online and be like, oh, what's my favorite clothing brand going through at the moment? Have they got any new stuff coming out? Because it takes me a bit of time, and Kat knows that I'll then come back to her maybe the next day it'll be, or in an hour or two, and I'll be like, okay, my bad. I messed up. And I need to repent of that. And I need to ask for forgiveness from that. And it's the same in our relationship with God. Then when we feel most distant from God, the thing we should actually do is lean into God. When I don't feel like God is answering my prayers the way I should, or having the significance in my life as he should, I should actually lean into God, pray more, go to church more, spend more time with him. The only way to strengthen a relationship is to be in the relationship, not looking outside the relationship to repair it. So at the heart of these blocks to prayer is actually the fact that it's a heart block. That my heart is blocked to God. That I don't give God the true love and importance in my life that he deserves. And so what do I need to do? It's that I need to ask God to soften my heart. And in Ezekiel 36:26 it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now I need to remember this a lot. And again, like I said earlier, I'm a little bit thick. I'm a little bit slow on the uptake. So rather than just try and memorize it, I got it tattooed on my ribs. So I've got a heart that looks half like stone, half like flesh tattooed on me. So I can remember that, you know what, most of the time my heart looks like stone and I need to invite God into my life to soften that heart. I need to be humble enough, and I've mentioned that word a lot. I need to have humility on board, vulnerability, and take things to God in prayer. Now, if you think, oh, you know what, I look at the Bible and I see these people that pray. They pray for ages and they pray these amazing prayers and they're beautiful and they're poetic and the Psalms are just full of them and I can't pray like that. Yeah, neither can I. Try to, it's fantastic, but if you can't, don't be disheartened. I mentioned in week two that there are other ways that we can pray. People talk about praying in small amounts, but frequently. That's what I do. I know I can't concentrate for more than 40 minutes, which is why I'm about to wrap up, because I figure you probably can't either. It's a bit of my projection. But I pray in small amounts, but often, if something comes to my heart, if I'm thinking about something, I don't go, oh, I'm going to put that in my prayer diary and pray about it later. I go, you know what, I'm going to pray about that now. I'm driving up to the National Library. I've got 15, 20 minutes where I can just have a short prayer, and it might only be 2 to 5 minutes long. But I make sure it happens frequently throughout my day. I think it's Mark Driscoll that talks about it, or it could have been Craig Groeschel. I get hooked on both of those pastors over in the States. They talk about praying through your breath. So on the in-breath, as you breathe in, asking God to put a name on your heart, praying for other people. And so as you breathe in, God will give you a name to pray about. And then on your out-breath, just praying a short prayer of, God, I pray for Kat today. I pray that you strengthen her in her work. Done. I breathe in. God gives me another name. Lord, I pray for Yushang today. I pray that you would guide him in everything that he does. Boom. Done. Breathe in. God, I pray for Samuel. I pray that you strengthen him as a father to be. Lord, give him peace of mind. Done. Finished. Frequent but small prayers. Asking God, inviting him into your life as you pray. The other ones, I'm not sure if you remember, it was kind of a bit weird. Praying through music. Putting a song on the radio and using the lyrics to show you how to pray. Giving you inspiration of how to pray. And all of you will remember, I know I don't need to remind you of the 5 points of prayer that I preached about in week 2. I know it's just like on the tip of your tongue. You really just want to say it. It's okay, I will, don't worry. Praise, confession, remembering what God has done, humility, and deciding what we're going to pray about, making sure that it's something praising of God. There's so many ways that we can pray that we don't have to be intimidated by prayer. In the end, it's just a conversation. And that's what the whole series has been about, conversations with God. You guys talk all day, every day. Some of you, like, don't shut up. Like, some of you, it's really hard to get you to stop when you're on a roll, Steve. That's all that prayer is. It's another conversation. But we've got to remember that the reason that we often struggle with it is not because we don't have time. It's not because we're too busy. It's not because we're working so hard or studying so hard or we've got to meet up with our friends. It's actually because we've got a heart block. That maybe our relationship with God isn't where we want it to be. And the way that we fix that, the idolatry, the heart block, this is an actual question. How do you think we fix that? What's the series been about? Sorry, Lily?
Pray.
Ah, cool. The way I work on idolatry in my life, the way that I work on this hardened heart, I pray. I lean into the relationship to repair it rather than thinking that, oh, you know what, if I don't pray, if I don't read my Bible, if I don't go to church, if I don't fellowship with others, somehow my life and my relationship with God will get better. We're kidding ourselves. So what we do is we pray. However we can, however often we can, in whatever way we can, we just pray. And I've heard it said, the only bad prayer is no prayer. Dad joke. I like how this is landing really well. It's good. It lets me know that most of you are really deep in contemplation about your prayer life. Not that you're done listening, but that you're deep in contemplation. So I would really support you to pray often, as much as you can, and lean into your relationship with God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we have access to you all the time. Lord, we want to thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to make sure that we could have that access, that you have cleansed us of our sins, you have forgiven us for all the wrongs we have done, and because of that, we can be in a relationship with you, Lord. We pray that we would not take it for granted. We pray that we would lean into our relationship with you, Lord, that we would challenge our hearts and our lives and be more vulnerable with you, Lord. And we pray as we go out today, Lord, that we would remember what you have said to us through me, that I am just your tool here for you to say what you want to say. So, Lord, continue to speak to us throughout our week. Help us become closer to you. Amen.